The News in Numbers with Tanya Curry, exclusively on Chai FM.
All right, Tanya, what were the big stories? What were we talking about as South Africans this week?
Do you know, Howard, that it's the same week that Patricia de Lille announced her new party? Like, do you know that? So that came out this weekend. This data set I'm talking about contains Auntie Pat's announcement. Doesn't it feel like that happened in 1987?
Well, let me tell you the funniest thing. So one of my one of the people that asked me to write articles for various publications asked me a little bit earlier this week to please take a look at 2018, the year that was, and. Yeah. I just went back and I thought, Nkosana Dlamini Zuma, and I thought, no, she's got to be 2 years ago. She couldn't have been a year ago. It can't be a year ago today, almost, that we thought she might be the leader of the ANC and therefore the president of the country. And I realized exactly what you're saying, that 2018 has been like 5 years. It's just, when you talk about Patricia de Lille's new party, Good for Nothing, what are they calling it? That was this week. It's mad.
That was this week. It's in this data set. I mean, Auntie Pat didn't time it very well. Sorry for her, because it is number 10 on the charts. It just made it, just by a nose hair. Black Friday is the biggest story. Now, if you'd pulled these charts 2 days ago, you'd have seen momentum right at the very top. So I think, if anything, momentum is delighted for several reasons. Black Friday and state capture inquiry certainly pushed the focus off momentum. But what a story was that. And I didn't hear your views on it, but social media justice is a phenomenon that I'm seeing more and more across my platform. And I believe social media won that round.
For sure.
But I'd love to know what your thoughts are, because by legal terms, they weren't meant to pay. The first thing I was offended by was why they even looked for a blood test result. But regardless of that, legally they were in the right. But social media believe differently,
right,
and social media won. What do you think of the story?
So I think that's exactly right. My first reaction was, what on earth? What are they doing? Why are they even going back and looking at this? You're not going to win. The other thing that you have to realize is that whereas 2.4 million rand is an enormous amount of money for an individual, for them, it is nothing. It is absolutely nothing. The damage that they did, not only to themselves, but to the entire life insurance industry, is significant. Because, you know, we have to remember that, in fact, I was talking to somebody about it last night who is in the industry, and they were saying, you know, when a bank defaults, it doesn't help the other banks that bank did, because, you know, you think, oh, the customers will come over. But no, it undermines the entire industry. And what this did was send everybody the message, you see, this is what happens. Life insurance, you're going to pay your whole life, or you're going to pay for a couple of years, and when they need to pay out, they're going to find a way. So I think they did tremendous damage to the whole industry. I think it was an appalling, appalling decision. They should have just swallowed it, paid it, and that would have been the end of the story. So I do think it was an absolutely crazy, crazy story. I'd love your thoughts on it. 3451 061-895-1019. We just time is 7:21. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem on 101.9 High FM. Love to hear from you on 3451 or 061-895-1019. We're chatting to Tanya Curry. She's joining us on Skype, and we're talking about the big stories of the week, and of course this insurance one. Was that the biggest story of the week, Tanya?
No, not at all. It came in at number 5. The biggest story is Black Friday, and then we're followed by state capture inquiry and everything that contained in, you know, there's so many legs to the story. You've got to be very, very careful that you don't duplicate stories when we do these statistics, because state capture inquiry includes Praveen Gordhan and it includes Julius Malema attacking Praveen Gordhan. So we've had to split those out. That particular story, state capture comes in at number 2. Praveen Gordhan comes in at number 3. Julius Malema comes in at number 6. And the BBS bank heist comes in at number 7. So I don't understand Julius. Like, one will know from me that I've always been a Julius fan. I think he's a marketing genius, okay? But I cannot understand what he's done this week. So, number one, let's talk about Uncle Kathy because it's so close to my heart.
Right.
He was firstly at that memorial. That's the first thing. And the second thing is Ahmed Kathrada made it clear, it was one of his dying wishes, that he wanted to take Malema to Robben Island. And he wanted to take this man under their wing. Okay, so now to come and take shots at Ahmed Kathrada is simply unacceptable, Mr. Malema. Sorry.
So what I was trying to figure out when I looked at the statement, and I'll tell you that this is how he's going to get around it, is I think what he's going to do is distinguish between the man and the foundation.
But
I know. I'm not agreeing with it. I think it's appalling because the whole of the Ahmed Kathrada funeral was a turning point, as we said earlier, for South African corruption.
Correct.
That was it was that funeral where people were brave enough to stand up and really talk about what was going on. How do
and
you
stand up, Howard? Mm-hmm. Who stood up? Praveen Gordhan stood up.
Of course. Of course, so how then?
So it's their genius going rah rah.
Mm, mm.
You know? And then how dare you attack Praveen Gordhan's daughter for having directorships? Like, I looked at that evidence, their so called evidence. And so many people may not know this about me, but in my past life, I was a forensic investigator.
Right.
And you have a look at company links to see if there's a suspicion of fraud, okay?
Right.
I want to know what Julius Malema's SIPSI record looks like, the record of companies, because I'm sure his looks a lot longer than Gordhan's daughter, you know?
For sure.
It's normal for high-flying individuals to have many resignations and appointments on various companies. You can't say that is tantamount to fraud just because she worked somewhere and resigned from
Absolutely
it.
Absolutely.
And then they talk about mass resignation. I mean, mass resignation, some of those resignations took place 12 years ago. Yeah. What are you talking about?
There's something more to the story, and I don't think it's going to... You see, the way the EFF operates is they throw things out there, and if it doesn't become a story or if it looks ugly for them, they just move and then they create another little bit of chaos somewhere else. So it won't I don't even think it's going to really affect them, but I can tell you I think less of them this week than I did last week. I do want to read you one message unsigned that I think is an important one, because I have to tell you that when I started hearing the momentum story, this was the first thought that I had, even though I've subsequently changed my mind. Unsigned says, I completely support momentum insurance company. Momentum insurance companies are so often being defrauded. That's why they have regular blood tests, and it is legally fraud. Social media justice may have won, but they were wrong. Sometimes the business is right. This teaches people that they can lie to an insurance company and whine on social media to win their case. So I think that I think there's validity in it, because he did check the box that he doesn't have high blood sugar. In other words, he lied. He definitely lied. So legally, they are absolutely within their rights to say there was something material on that document. Therefore, we wouldn't even have given you insurance, let alone, and I checked that out, whether they would load it or whether, and the person that I spoke to said, well, they wouldn't even have given them, given him insurance, given that factor. But, so yes, I do think that the problem with this is the negative side of it is that it does teach people that you can lie. But I do think, on the other hand, that the damage done to the whole industry was so much greater than this aspect. Because had they kept quiet about it and just paid it over, nobody would have been taught to lie, because nobody would even have known about it.
Exactly. And where's your, I mean, yes, he may have lied on the form, but why did you even look there? I mean,
well, that's the other thing. And
it's an indiscretion or whatever the case may be, it's illegal or whatever. But how did you even get to that point? That makes everyone think.
Well, not only that, is then they should have demanded blood tests. So they should have done the due diligence at time of underwriting, not after the fact. And I think that is, you know, if it was a case where they could really argue the person, you know, had to have a leg amputated and then they went into hospital and they died from that, and you could argue that that's related to high blood sugar, then it's a different conversation. I agree. The fact that person was shot in a violent crime makes it very, very different. I'd love your thoughts on that. 3451906189510019. Do you agree with unsigned? I have to say, part of me does. I get it, but I think that you have to look at the whole picture. What are your thoughts on that, Tanya? In 1 minute, we'll come back to you after the after news headlines. But just tell us what else is on the charts in the meantime.
Can I continue my rant about Julius for a second?
Oh yes, of course. Sorry to have interrupted.
So it wasn't enough to start attacking Quadrada and Gordhan. He also laid into the Free Press. He attacked Paulie van Wyk, Viral Hafji, and a whole bunch of other journalists. I've met Paulie van Wyk. She's one of the loveliest ladies you'll ever meet, and she's a really good journalist.
I believe so.
And I know you don't like the Daily Maverick or the what's it, Mail and Guardian, but that doesn't mean that it's not. It's got merit, and the points that Paulie
most definitely. I say that very flippantly. Of course, it's got a lot of merit, and a lot of their articles actually are extremely important.
Yes, and if Julius wanted to talk to get the heat off him, he did it the wrong way, because what happened? Media fired back with VBS Bank evidence, and it may have been small evidence. It was only 400,000 rand or 500,000 rand. I say small. It'll buy you a bottle of whiskey. But that particular story just put VBS Bank back on the charts, putting VBS Bank back in number 6 position. So it didn't work, Julius Malema.
Very, very, very interesting. Wow, I don't know. It's an absolutely, absolutely fascinating strategy, and I'm not quite sure if it is. As I said earlier, all I want to do is just help them write their statements a bit better, because I do think they need some work. Time is 7:29. We'll be back with Tanya Khoury just after we've chatted to Louis Karpis with the sport.